Chapter 19, What to Preach and Not to Preach.
The introduction. As in the year 1933, the General Conference leadership made plans for strong evangelistic emphasis and effort throughout North America. It was realized that if large objectives were to be accomplished, the ministers who stood before the people must turn from subjects of minor importance to the presentation of the third angel's message in its broad and gripping phases. At the request of the General Conference, a 16-page pamphlet entitled Preach the Word, containing Ellen G. White counsels, was published. Great good was accomplished by the many thousands of copies distributed, charging the ministry anew with the solemn responsibility of proclaiming the Last Judgment Hour message to the world. Those portions not in other E.G. White books are included in permanent form here. The statements printed do not constitute an exhaustive compilation of what Ellen White has written on this subject. Additional counsel may be found in the books Evangelism, Gospel Workers, Testimonies to Ministers, and Christian Service. Following the pamphlet items are a few related chapters. The Peril of Extreme Views is a communication addressed to one of our ministers, containing instruction of great service, which until now has been available only in notebook leaflets. The chapter on time setting is pertinent. The section closes with counsels drawn from Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 2, written during the crisis of 1903 and 1904, when certain pantheistic views were being pressed upon the denomination as new light, which, it was asserted, would prove a great blessing to the church. The chief blessing that resulted from this crisis was in the lessons in truth so earnestly communicated by the Lord's messenger to the struggling church, found mainly in Testimonies, Volume 8, and the Ministry of Healing. The compilers tell us, no complete listing of topics is here attempted. For other suggestions, see Evangelism, pages 184 through 199 and 217 through 278. Let Christ appear. The object of all ministry is to keep self out of sight and to let Christ appear. The exaltation of Christ is the great truth that all who labor in word and doctrine are to reveal. Manuscript 109, 1897. Laborers in the cause of truth should present the righteousness of Christ not as new light, but as precious light that has for a time been lost sight of by the people. We are to accept of Christ as our personal Savior, and He imputes unto us the righteousness of God in Christ. Let us repeat and make prominent the truth that John has portrayed. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. In the love of God has been opened the most marvelous vein of precious truth, and the treasures of the grace of Christ are laid open before the church and the world. What love is this? What marvelous, unfathomable love that would lead Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners? What a loss it is to the soul who understands the strong claims of the law and who yet fails to understand the grace of Christ, which doth much more abound. It is true that the law of God reveals the love of God when it is preached as the truth in Jesus, for the gift of Christ to this guilty world must be largely dwelt upon in every discourse. It is no wonder that hearts have not been melted by the truth, when it has been presented in a cold and lifeless manner. No wonder faith has staggered at the promises of God. when ministers and workers have failed to present Jesus in his relation to the law of God? How often should they have assured the people that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Satan is determined that men shall not see the love of God which led him to give his only begotten Son to save a lost race. For it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, how shall we succeed in setting forth before the world the deep, precious love of God? In no other way can we compass it except by exclaiming, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." 1 John 3:1. Let us say to sinners, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. By presenting Jesus as the representative of the Father, we shall be able to dispel the shadow that Satan has cast upon our pathway, in order that we shall not see the mercy and inexpressible love of God as manifested in Jesus Christ. Look at the cross of Calvary. It is a standing pledge of the boundless love, the measureless mercy of the Heavenly Father. Manuscript 154, 1897. The Holy Spirit. Christ, the great teacher, had an infinite variety of subjects from which to choose, but the one upon which he dwelt most largely was the endowment of the Holy Spirit. What great things he predicted for the church because of this endowment! Yet, what subject is less dwelt upon now? What promise is less fulfilled? An occasional discourse is given upon the Holy Spirit, and then the subject is left for after consideration. Manuscript 20, 1891. Teach steps in conversion. Ministers need to have a more clear, simple manner in presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. Their own minds need to comprehend the great plan of salvation more fully. Then they can carry the minds of the hearers away from earthly things to the spiritual and eternal. There are many who want to know what they must do to be saved. They want a plain and clear explanation of the steps requisite in conversion. And there should not a sermon be given unless a portion of that discourse is to especially make plain the way that sinners may come to Christ and be saved. They should point them to Christ, as did John. And with touching simplicity, their hearts aglow with the love of Christ, say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Strong and earnest appeals should be made to the sinner to repent and be converted. Those who neglect this part of the work need to be converted themselves before venturing to give a discourse. Those whose hearts are filled with the love of Jesus, with the precious truths of His Word, will be able to draw from the treasure house of God things new and old. They will not find time to relate anecdotes. They will not strain to become orators, soaring so high that they cannot carry the people with them. But in simple language, with touching earnestness, they will present the truth as it is in Jesus. The Review and Herald, February 22, 1887. Revival of Old Advent Truths. There is a work of sacred importance for ministers and people to do. They are to study the history of the cause and people of God. They are not to forget the past dealing of God with His people. They are to revive and recount the truths that have come to seem of little value to those who do not know by personal experience of the power and brightness that accompanied them when they were first seen and understood. In all their original freshness and power, these truths are to be given to the world. Manuscript 22, 1890. The Ministration of Angels. Over every man, good and evil angels strive. It is the man himself who determines which shall win. I call upon the ministers of Christ to press home upon the understanding of all who come within the reach of their voice the truth of the ministration of angels. Do not indulge in fanciful speculations. The written word is our only safety. We must pray as did Daniel, that we may be guarded by heavenly intelligences. Letter 201, 1899. Argumentative sermons. The many argumentative sermons preached seldom soften and subdue the soul. It should be the burden of every messenger to set forth the fullness of Christ. When the free gift of Christ's righteousness is not presented, the discourses are dry and spiritless. The sheep and lambs are not fed. Said Paul, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." 1 Corinthians 2:4. There is marrow and fatness in the gospel. Jesus is the living center of everything. Put Christ into every sermon. Let the preciousness, mercy, and glory of Jesus Christ be dwelt upon, for Christ formed within is the hope of glory. Letter 15, 1892. Present truth in meekness. Be careful, messengers. Do not be anxious to hear and accept new theories, for often they are such as should never be presented before any congregation. Speak no boastful, self-exalting words. Let the word of God come forth from lips that are sanctified by the truth. Every minister is to preach the truth as it is in Jesus. He should be assured of that which he affirms, and should handle the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Walk and work carefully before God, my brethren, that no soul may be led into deception by your example. It had been better for you never to have been born than that you should lead one soul astray. Those who profess to be servants of God need to make diligent work for the obtaining of that life where sin and sickness and sorrow cannot enter. They are to be instant in season and out of season. God is calling for reformers who will speak strong, uplifting words from our pulpits. It is when men speak their own words in their own strength, instead of preaching the Word of God in the power of the Spirit, that they are hurt and offended when their words are not received with enthusiasm. It is then that they are tempted to speak words that will arouse a spirit of bitterness and opposition in their hearers. My brethren, be advised. Such words are not to come from the lips of Christ's ambassadors. Sanctified lips will speak words that reform, but do not exasperate. The truth is to be presented in the meekness and love of Christ. Letter 348, 1907. A device of the enemy. We are to pray for divine enlightenment, but at the same time we should be careful how we receive everything termed new light. We must beware lest, under cover of searching for new truth, Satan shall divert our minds from Christ and the special truths for this time. I have been shown that it is the device of the enemy to lead minds to dwell upon some obscure or unimportant point, something that is not fully revealed and is not essential to our salvation. This is made the absorbing theme, the present truth, when all their investigations and suppositions only serve to make matters more obscure than before, and to confuse the minds of some who ought to be seeking for oneness through sanctification of the truth. Letter 7, 1891. Human suppositions and conjectures. Let no one present beautiful scientific sophistries to lull the people of God to sleep. Clothe not the solemn sacred truth for this time in any fantastic dress of man's wisdom. Let those who have been doing this stop and cry unto God to save their souls from deceiving fables. It is the living energy of the Holy Spirit that will move hearts, not pleasing deceptive theories. Fanciful representations are not the bread of life. They cannot save the soul from sin. Christ was sent from heaven to redeem humanity. He taught the doctrines that God gave him to teach. The truths that he proclaimed, as found in the Old Testament and the New, we today are to proclaim as the Word of the living God. Let those who want the bread of life go to the Scriptures, not to the teaching of finite, erring men. Give the people the bread of life that Christ came from heaven to bring to us. Do not mix with your teaching human suppositions and conjectures. Would that all knew how much they need to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, to make his words a part of their very lives. Manuscript 44, 1904. Our faith founded on truth. I long daily to be able to do double duty. I have been pleading with the Lord for strength and wisdom to reproduce the writings of the witnesses who were confirmed in the faith and in the early history of the message. After the passing of the time in 1844, they received the light and walked in the light, and when the men claiming to have new light would come in with their wonderful messages regarding various points of Scripture, we had, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, testimonies right to the point, which cut off the influence of such messages as Elder G. has been devoting his time to presenting. Now this is reference here made to teachings on the sanctuary question at variance with those held by Seventh-day Adventists through the years, which denied the fulfillment of prophecy in 1844 and repudiated the ministry of Christ in the investigative judgment. This poor man has been working decidedly against the truth that the Holy Spirit has confirmed. When the power of God testifies as to what is truth, that truth is to stand forever as the truth. No after suppositions contrary to the light God has given are to be entertained. Men will arise with interpretations of Scripture which are to them truth, but which are not truth. The truth for this time God has given us as a foundation for our faith. He himself has taught us what is truth. One will arise, and still another, with new light, which contradicts the light that God has given under the demonstration of his Holy Spirit. A few are still alive who passed through the experience gained in the establishment of this truth. God has graciously spared their lives to repeat and repeat till the close of their lives the experience through which they passed, even as did John the Apostle, till the very close of his life. And the standard bearers who have fallen in death are to speak through the reprinting of their writings. I am instructed that thus their voices are to be heard. They are to bear their testimony as to what constitutes the truth for this time. We are not to receive the words of those who come with a message that contradicts the special points of our faith. They gather together a mass of scripture and pile it as proof around their asserted theories. This has been done over and over again during the past 50 years. And while the scriptures are God's word, they are to be respected, the application of them, if such application moves one pillar from the foundation that God has sustained these 50 years, is a great mistake. He who makes such an application knows not the wonderful demonstration of the Holy Spirit that gave power and force to the past messages that have come to the people of God. Elder G's proofs are not reliable. If received, they would destroy the faith of God's people in the truth that has made us what we are. We must be decided on this subject, for the points that he is trying to prove by Scripture are not sound. They do not prove that the past experience of God's people was a fallacy. We had the truth. We were directed by the angels of God. It was under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that the presentation of the sanctuary question was given. It is eloquence for everyone to keep silent in regard to the features of our faith in which they acted no part. God never contradicts himself. Scripture proofs are misapplied if forced to testify to that which is not true. Another and still another will arise and bring in supposedly great light and make their assertions, but we stand by the old landmarks. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 10, quoted. I am instructed to say that these words we may use as appropriate for this time, for the time has come when sin must be called by its right name. We are hindered in our work by men who are not converted, who seek their own glory. They wish to be thought originators of new theories, which they present, claiming they are truth. But if these theories are received, they will lead to a denial of the truth that for the past 50 years God has been giving to his people, substantiating it by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Letter 329, 1905. The truths that have been revealed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn to take the truths that have been revealed and to handle them in such a way that they will be food for the flock of God. We shall meet those who allow their minds to wander into idle speculations about things of which nothing is said in the word of God. God has spoken in the plainest language upon every subject that affects the salvation of the soul. But he desires us to avoid all daydreaming. And he says, go work today in my vineyard. The night cometh wherein no man can work. Cease all idle curiosity. Watch and work and pray. Study the truths that have been revealed. Christ desires to break up all vacant reveries, and he points us to the fields ripe for the harvest. Unless we work earnestly, eternity will overwhelm us with its burden of responsibility. In the days of the apostles, the most foolish heresies were presented as truth. History has been and will be repeated. There will always be those who, though apparently conscientious, will grasp at the shadow, preferring it to the substance. They take error in the place of truth, because error is clothed with a new garment, which they think covers something wonderful. But let the covering be removed and nothingness appears. The Review and Herald, February 5, 1901. Questions of eternal import. Dwell upon the lessons that Christ dwelt upon. Present them to the people as he presented them. Dwell upon questions that concern our eternal welfare Anything that the enemy can devise to divert the mind from God's Word, anything new and strange that he can originate to create a diversity of sentiment, he will introduce as something wonderfully important. But those things that we cannot clearly comprehend are not a tenth as important to us as are the truths of God's Word that we can clearly comprehend and bring into our daily life. We are to teach the people the lessons that Christ brought into his teachings from the Old Testament scriptures. The language of divine truth is exceedingly plain. Letter 16, 19:3. Points unnecessary for faith. There are many questions treated upon that are not necessary for the perfection of the faith. We have no time for their study. Many things are above finite comprehension. Truths are to be received not within the reach of our reason, and not for us to explain. Revelation presents them to us to be implicitly received as the words of an infinite God. While every ingenious inquirer is to search out the truth as it is in Jesus, there are things not yet simplified, statements that human minds cannot grasp and reason out without being liable to make human calculation and explanations, which will not prove a savor of life unto life. But every truth which is essential for us to bring into our practical life, which concerns the salvation of the soul, is made very clear and positive. Letter 8, 1895.